Welcome to Modcast, an official podcast of Politan Civilization site.
Bauta Snyders.
Kenneth Herland.
Tony Keel.
Oscar Velzi.
With guest co-host
Blake Walsh.
Welcome to Modcast, episode 13.
Dun, 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 dun.
Today, we are joined with Kenneth Impaler, W.R.G. Furland.
Kneel before me.
Walter Locutus Snyders.
Hello.
And me, Tony Gertz-Takakiel. And we have the emergency guest host, Blake Walsh.
Hi. No, I prefer between scripted guest host.
Yes, whatever that means. What language was that?
What?
What?
I believe that was English, Tony. But that's not something you would know anything about.
I don't.
No, we speak American.
Exactly.
No. Ich spreche ab jetzt Deutsch. Ich wollte erst in deiner Mutter so in ihrem Sch*** lachen und wollte Fleisch
alone. Yeah, I'm gonna leave that one alone.
You know, if I'm really gonna be an international crowd, I have to edit that one with bleeps because there's some naughty things.
Yeah, I know. I speak German.
What?
All right, so you did leave that one alone. Today in the news, we talked about Soren Johnson's designer notes, and he mentioned us to Modcast.
Today in the vault, we talked about Civilization 4 colonization with Dale.
Today in Upcoming Modders, we talked about Bad Mix Mod by David Allen.
Today in the Artist Sketchpad, we talked about Motorcycles by Refar, The Punks by Chugginator, Truck by Osio, and Firefighter by Cezareth.
And today in the Code Corner, we look at the unique Civilization specific tech trees by Classic Thunder, and the Gross National Happiness Mod by Cephalo.
Here's what's been making the news in the Sith community.
Today in the news, we have a little bit of ourselves patting ourselves on the back because former Civ, what was he, lead designer or something or other?
Lead designer of Civ 4 and the lead designer on Civ 3 as well.
Former Civ 4 lead designer and designer of Civ 3, Soren Johnson, who is now working on Dun-Dun-Dun Spore, has just mentioned us in his Designer Notes blog.
We have been mentioned by the great mentioner.
We have been, yes, he has done, tapped us on the head with his magic wand of mentionhood.
Okay.
Yes, and specifically it was in reference to our previous episode, Mod Mods, where we talked about Fall from Heaven 2. And he particularly liked the way that Kale was taking out all of his hard coding and mentioned how this was very similar to Civilization 4 and a really big step for a quote amateur project, though of course he's kind of implying that it's not very amateur. It's very professional, though it's amateur.
Yeah. And so, brilliant.
More of a pat on the head for that particular mod, but he does say that our polycast is good too.
Yeah, well, he just totally almost... I'd rather him have talked about a guest we had on or something that we did as opposed to us, because people are just going to be like, oh, this is a new avenue to listen to good news about Civ. Let me just listen to the show.
And you guys check out some of the other cool things on his designer's notes, which, by the way, is like, how on earth did he get that name? It's like, oh, it's so awesome. But really, seriously, there's like one story after ours where he like plugs his own spore thing. And there's apparently a creature creator you can get for Spore.
Yeah.
And they have some pictures of creatures here.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting that.
That look just like a TIE fighter.
Creature looks like a TIE fighter?
Yes, and one
that
looks like an
wonderful.
X-Wing. Yeah. Have you guys seen this one? Yeah, let me see.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then the really awesome thing that I found, like, it just blows my mind, is that apparently the data for these creatures can be compressed into a PNG file. It's a picture of the creature. And you can take these PNG files, drag them right into the creature creator, and it will recreate.
It's called a procedural graphics. Ken. It's the future.
Yes, it's most procedural, but they've managed to get the
onto the actual graphic file. That's sweet.
To compress all the data for making the creature.
And then you could actually reskin your own files outside of the
internet. And I mean, they can't even be using the whole file.
It's a PNG.
I mean, they must be, you know, embedding it like by some kind of pixel alteration.
Into a lot of bits or something.
They're doing all kinds of new stuff. They're making that game Spore so that the whole terrain, the whole worlds you live in are all fractally generated and procedurally graphic so that they build the world around you from very small amounts of data, like this PNG file, I guess. And they're also doing things where apparently you share monsters with other players, so it's a massively single-player game.
It's a fun thing to play around with, the creature creator. Only, I have to say, the free option is rather inbox for something.
I don't know.
Now, they call it massively asynchronous multiplayer.
Okay, they changed it to massively asynchronous multiplayer. All right. It's going to be crazy. Massively asynchronous multiplayer, ma'am. All right.
And they actually need creatures to populate the persist when real game comes out, so it's quite smart to release these... there will be plenty of content once the game comes out, and that's, they simply need that.
It's like, let's sell a little $10 chunk and see if... Because we'll buy the game and we'll actually veg out for a while.
Oh, yes, but you're getting like 1/6 of the whole game for 1/5 the price. I don't know, something like that. So, isn't it a good deal?
Basically, they're just trying to make sure that they can make money. It's like, let's sell a little $10 chunk and see if they're really excited. Well,
not really that bad a deal.
Well, I definitely have faith in Soren because he's a good designer.
It's also kind of a little bit of a demo for them as well, too. Obviously, it whets people's appetite.
Yeah, but charging $10 for a demo.
just a regular game, as far as I know, a usual price.
Yeah, but it's only $10.
Well, at least you can play Witch Creative so far. There is
a million creatures uploaded. Yeah.
Oh, that's why they did it. Now they'll have all these monsters already made.
Yeah. So the first day you load up the game, it's like, whoop, you know, random stuff.
Oh, I can't wait to play.
Already there.
Oh my god, I have to actually buy this game too. It's going to be so expensive.
Yeah.
I know, I just have no money. I'm so poor. Anyone who wants to donate money to Garrett Tanaka, please email me.
You help Tony buy Spore, foundation.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just start a group fund. Donate a penny to my Spore. Yeah. I think I could do Creature Creator, but you know, it's gonna spoil me for the game. I can't wait to actually get that new game feeling where you open up the seal and you smell all the weird smells that come out of a package when you just buy it.
Slightly disturbing, but you must really like your games.
You know, like the plastic printer smell and all that stuff that you get out of a brand new video game.
New game smell.
All right, moving on.
The following is a vault segment with topics cut from earlier episodes that are still relevant now.
The news.
And the news today is that Civ 4 has not another expansion, but a standalone version. Civilization 4. Sid Meier's Civilization 4 Colonization. Is it Colonization 2 or just Colonization?
Colonization.
Just Colonization.
Civ 4 Colonization 2.
We like to call it a standalone expansion pack, which is kind of an odd term.
Now, today we have great news for the listeners. We are going to get insider information. We have two agents on the inside of Firaxis with us today. Our first agent is Dale, who from Australia infiltrates Firaxis very well. And our second secret agent, well, we're just going to call him Deep Throat.
Deep Throat.
Even though he has a high, squeaky elf voice. That had nothing to do with anything.
Oh, yeah, that's serious. You can't.
Can you tell us? Just tell us what you can tell us.
Well, for the purposes of the game, people who don't know, I've been working here at Firaxis for about 9 months now. It was back in about November-ish I started. I was brought on for this project. We were just very early phase right then. They'd just had a really primitive mock-up prototype kind of thing. And I've been doing the interface code, which is written in Python, and also a little bit of C++ when I have to, you know, like, do the linkages between the two. So I, like, prototype the interface, work with the designers and the artists, and kind of like, hey, this is the information we need to display, kind of come up with a little bit of a mock-up prototype thing, and then, I'm literally, like, drawing it out, like, okay, I think this should be over here, and that should be over there, and when you do this, and you click that button, it does this, yeah. And then it goes on to an artist. The lead artist will actually, like, mock up a fake screenshot, you know, of, you know, and he's doing this in Photoshop. You know. Mm-hmm. And then he'll give that back to me, and then he'll kind of tear that mock-up up into little pieces, since he's doing it in layers.
Oh, sweet.
Kind of gives me all those resources back. And I plug those in to the system and actually put them in Python and give them their effects.
And therefore a game is created.
And debug it. Yeah.
So,
now, other people do all of the, most of the DLL stuff.
Yeah, you're still an intern.
Makes the game run. So, yeah. And I'm just making it all display and allow the user to change things. So that's what the interface does. And this is a very common thing for new people to do the interface, because everyone has to do interface.
Now, let me ask you this. Dale, you were playtesting the game for a while.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I don't know, did you get any artwork in there at all, or any kind of code or mod work?
Well, really, it was a very limited role that I was doing. I had a very small amount of time that I could even give to the project. And, yeah, consequently, I've had to pull out of that anyway just recently.
Oh, well, that's okay. You still played the game. So both of you, is the game going to be super-duper fun? Is it going to be a whole new version of Civ 4? Is it going to feel like a different game or like a mod?
It definitely feels like a new game.
Really?
My interface work is definitely... there's no way you're going to mistake it for Civilization 4.
Oh, sweet.
With the new interface work that's been done. And but just to clarify, I almost never actually play it.
Well, of course.
I have no time to do that. This is common, whether even when you're doing your own mods,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Civ 4... No one ever played their own mods.
Or it's called play testing.
Yes. Even
play for 15 minutes till it crashes.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd like, okay, oh, bug, you know, fix. You know.
Yep.
So even out in the modding community, we have to have our own play testers, you know, do the play testing for us and give us the feedback.
And you know you've made it in the mod world when people volunteer to test for you.
Sweet. One thing I wanted to mention in this news spotlight is that I, with the modcast, wanted to make sure that our panels cover any modding that goes in Civilization 4 colonization. And any further Civilization 4 standalones, they think they all should be followed under here because it's all the same community. We're all going to be making mods for colonization, just like Civ 4 Beyond the Sword.
Yeah, it has the same modability, basically. You know, the same structures there. So I expect people to do a lot of modding on it as well. Particularly, the forums have already been started to complain about you-know-what country being not included.
I think that's going to be the first mod to get released about an hour and a half after the game hits the show.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is the country that's not being released?
Portugal.
Uh-oh. Now, that's in... Oh, it is in colonization now, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's a problem.
Well, I'm sure you'll take care of that, Dale, with your mod. Age of Discovery 2, is that what you're going to be calling it, Mr. Dale?
I could just call it Dale's mod. You know, totally headspin.
Oh, come on. You just need to have a billboard built off the top of your house that just says Dale in neon. Dale. Dale.
How do you know I don't?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So buy Civ 4 colonization.
Well, one thing, right. I'm curious if you guys can tell anything on Center and the NDA, so you might not be able to, but how faithful is this to the original colonization? How similar is it to Civ 4? Is it really a new game in terms of actual gameplay, or is it a sort of reimagination with just new graphics?
I'll leave that one to Ken.
I'd say we're pretty darn true to the original right now. It can't be an exact clone for obvious reasons.
Well, first off, you're not an 8-bit graphics.
Yeah, you've seen the screenshots. I mean, obviously, the artwork and all of the game engine stuff is Civilization 4, so that automatically knocks it up to modern standards of usability, functionality, graphics, etc. And gameplay-wise...
Yeah, but that doesn't affect gameplay, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I would say is if you look at the original colonization and then you look at a version of Civ 1 or Civ 2, you can kind of see that the games are... I'd say colonization and Civ 1 are extremely similar, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they're almost nothing alike. The gameplay...
Or is it Civ 2? Well, I'm trying to remember if it was isometric.
No,
I wouldn't say that they're nothing alike, but there's definitely some big differences. Although, I have to say, it's been a long time since I've played either of them.
Yeah, all these games we're talking about are like 15 years old plus.
Yeah, in colonization, it's definitely a complete separate focus than, you know, Civilization or any of other Sid Meier's games. Like, for instance, with colonization, it very much focuses on the individual colonists within cities.
Really?
Yeah, in colonization, your individual population units are not just abstracted away to be all generic. You know, I have 5 population in this city versus 6. Each one of them has skill sets and kind of a history to them, which they retain throughout the whole game. So that makes it fundamentally different than Civilization, where they're genericized. You store materials and resources in cities in a way that Civilization does not try to do at all. And there's specific types, so I have lumber versus hammers versus, you know, like tobacco.
It's kind of sweet.
And the way you collect things from the train, Civilization abstracts everything down to food, hammers, and yield, and I mean commerce. Colonization doesn't do that. It's actual, you know, like, this place produces tobacco, this place produces iron. It's very finite and less abstracted than Civilization was, which they can do.
Covers less of a time period than Civ as well.
Yes,
but
exactly. They can do that because it's such a shorter time period.
This game is a must-have. This is going to be big. How much is the value do you think they're going to charge for it?
I think it's going to come out at expansion pack-type prices.
Sid Meier's games are usually almost always really well affordably priced. There's really no reason not to buy it.
I can't comment because I live in Australia where everything hits the shelf at least $90.
Oh.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your mileage may vary depending on where you live.
Yes, but those are Australian dollars, which are only worth...
Yeah. Oh, frankly, we've devalued our dollar.
This is going very far on topic.
All right. Just buy the damn game. Give Sid Meier's a dollar, because I'm sure at least a dollar of that 30 is going to go to him, and he deserves it.
Yeah, and Ken will probably say that 5 cents of that dollar.
He deserves all the money he can get. No, what are you talking about? He'll get less lashes before he goes to bed and an extra piece of bread and water. He's an intern, remember? Upcoming modders, where we discuss a particular mod still in development. You know, I just got asked by a newcomer to the community named David Allen, and he asked me to do some artwork for him, and he also asked quite a few other influential artists in the community who have much more skills than me, and he started a Mad Max mod, or just simply the post-apocalypse Civ 4 mod, because there's no others out.
Specifically, it is called Fury Road, which I think is a really nice, clever name.
Fury Road? That's cool. That
helps him get around the copyright, you know.
But he also says in the first line it's inspired by Mad Max movies and the Fallout.
Ah, yes, the beloved Fallout series, which I never actually played.
There's actually been some new things added to the Civ community through this mod already. Like, first off, if you can find some of the units they've done, they have some great artwork that we talked about. And we're also going to see that they're doing dynamic, static leader heads.
What? Explain that.
They're making leader heads that... static leader heads that respond to mood.
How do they do that? Do you say they just change from one flame to another? So it's,
I think so.
Okay, so it's like a slideshow kind of thing. They don't...
Yeah.
They're not animated, but... Okay, I get
not
that.
Animated. Isn't that kind of cool, though? Because static leader heads are very popular.
Huh. Interesting.
And I know they're very popular with people like Kale, because he uses static leader heads in Even Fall From Heaven. And another thing is, he has ruined improvements. Like, it'll be the airbase or the silo or something, but the airbase looks all destroyed and wrecked and old, like post-apocalypse, and it's actually the original graphic for Civ, but torn up and modified to look all post-apocalypse.
Okay, so, I mean, it's going to be starting off on a map. You're going to have, like, a little band of refugees, you know, post-nuclear apocalyptic survivors, and they'll go around and build cities and try to harvest the ruins and scavenge stuff and rebuild civilization, and then there's a lot of stuff with oil and gasoline being, you know, the last thing, the only resource that's valuable. So you have to kill other people for their oil, you know?
Yeah. I think he's using the oil mod, too, where all your units have fuel.
Ah, yes. That would be good.
Yeah, that's going to be perfect. It'll be a lot of fun.
In the artist's sketchpad, we discuss graphics and artwork from the modding community.
And I also did a little artwork for this one, but I didn't think it was too necessary to make a whole topic for it, but there's the link right there.
Let's have a look. What did you make for this one? Weird-looking guy with a leather suit on and a big machine gun?
That's a double-barrel shotgun.
No, a shotgun.
It's Mad Max.
Kind of, maybe.
Well, I actually used the textures off his body. I used actual textures from a picture of Mad Max. Yes.
Interesting. His arms, though, look kind of weird.
You know, that's just right off the model I used. I used a model from, from the cyborg from the next war.
It has weird arms, then.
Yeah, it does have weird arms.
They're like, kind of, you know, kind of at the shoulders, they kind of look a little...
I think it's because that was a uniform before, and I made it into skin.
Mm. Yeah, that could be.
But my favorite thing about this model is the shotgun shoots 2 blasts, and it has double barrels.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I do love that.
Okay, speaking of more artwork for this mod, we got 2 other pieces that you wanted to look at?
Yeah, we have the motorcycles by Refar.
And one of which is for the mod, and the other is, I don't think it's for the mod. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the other one looks, I think, was done for World War II enthusiasts.
Yes, the Iron Cross on the front of it tends to support that assumption.
And then the other one is not using a machine gun, rather, but a crossbow, and they have impressive mohawks.
Yes, I definitely like the punk-looking motorcycle. And these are, you know, motorcycles with little side carriages for people who are just listening to us. And so the guy with the side carriage thing has got the crossbow, and there's another guy riding the motorcycle. And, of course, the German version, they have machine guns. And the cyberpunk version, not cyberpunk, the post-nuclear apocalyptic punks have, you know, great mohawks. Though I would have really liked them to have, like, slightly different mohawks so they don't look like twin brothers, which is something you find in a lot of mod work. It's like people don't want to make 2 units, so they just put both of them right next to each other. It doesn't look bad for the German soldiers because they're, you know, they're generic German soldiers. But, you know, post-nuclear apocalyptic, everyone's got to have their own unique style, you know? You know? Style, you know?
But they're brothers. but they're like punk brothers. Yeah. Need to be the same or something.
They should change one of the mohawks' color at the very least. Like, one has a green mohawk, the other one has a purple. That's how you tell the brothers apart.
No, you don't need to tell them apart.
But no, I think that's a sort of from scratch unit. I think that they got that motorcycle and animated it, and he made those riders and skinned them. Wow.
And he even gives a list of credits here as to how this was all made. He said that he was requested by the leader of Fury Road, and Asio made the bike model, texture the bike Refar did. Wheels on the model were by Lemon Song. Biker is Civ4 anti-tank dude reskinned, etc. Chugginator made the punk model, and the animations he made from scratch. So, a really big group effort, and very typical of the modding community, how lots of little pieces get recycled, reused, and reassembled. Like
into something really awesome. And it shows that a piece of artwork is greater than the sum of its part. I think it's pretty amazing. And I also have the Firefighter. It is a post-apocalypse firefighter.
So he actually more fights with fire than fights against fire?
Yeah.
What I gather?
Yeah,
here?
Like the Ray Bradbury book, Fahrenheit 451. Yeah, there is the punk. There's 3. They're triplets now. The punk triplets.
More punk brothers.
Well, actually, in the screenshot, they've got two sets of units. I think they're sextuplets.
Oh, my goodness.
And a few more in the background.
Maybe they're just cloning them at this point. It's post-apocalypse. Yeah. We'll just clone punks. Like, Do you like Johnny Rod? Yes. Clone him!
So I suspect this is built off the flamethrower unit that we previewed several modcasts ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they basically reskinned the guy so he looks, instead of like a World War II-style flamethrower, he now looks like a firefighter.
Well, I think it's been a little bit of reskin, a bit of remodeling. But you know how it stays there if you can put something together. You know what I mean.
Mm.
I think there's quite a bit of editing involved, and the skin job, of course, is just amazing. The way he textured that dirty, dirty, smudged firefighter suit and the creepy mask off of his World War I units.
It's not that actually illogical of a thing, since a firefighter suit is, you know, obviously provides a lot of protection from heat. So if it was a post-nuclear apocalyptic future and I actually did rig up a flamethrower, I could go to the destroyed fire department and grab one of their suits, and it would actually work.
No, better yet, have a bunch of, like, people who wear fire suits all live in the old destroyed firefighters building, and they go out and raid the surrounding lands with their flamethrowers.
or something like that, yes.
And then look right behind the flamethrower in this picture, yeah. You can also see...
It's a fuel tanker truck.
But yeah, it's based off of a model of a real truck. I think, I believe, who did this one? The truck? Osseo? I'm not sure, though.
Don't recall.
Yes.
Oh.
Osseo did that one. And it's a...
Which Mad Max movie is the one where they drive the truck around?
I don't know. They all kind of blur together in my memory.
And then the truck is a decoy at the end or something? I don't know.
Well, that's...
But you're right. They all do blur together.
What I find funny about this picture is that the tanks with firefighter axles. Fighting the firefighters.
Seems like that should be the melee weapon of the firefighter. You like range weapon, flame, you know. You try to melee him.
Well, I bet we can get an axeman for the firefighters now that you mentioned that. We should make the firefighters its own civ.
They should put up the axe in the melee range.
Oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
But then again, watching them walk up to someone with an axe and just toast their ass, like in that picture right there. See that guy get toasted?
Yeah, I really like that. And it's like flying back.
That's a good screenshot, man.
Yeah. I really love these awesome screenshot montages that people put up of their units. They're like, wow, that's so sexy.
Well, this one's really nice. This guy is really, really nice.
I mean, White Rabbit would do this, too, a lot, you know, put up the montages of the units. Very nice.
This Mad Max Fury Mod, I hope that it comes to fruition soon, and we can have the main guy who thought of doing it on the show and everything. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, quite original idea.
Welcome to the Code Corner, where we discuss Python and SDK mods.
And we also have some interesting news in the code country. Take it away, Ken.
Hi. Classic Thunder has made a unique civilization tech tree mod. Basically, this will allow each civilization in the game to have a unique tech tree that only it sees and only it researches. So what he's done is, basically, at the code level, there's now a new element added to each technology info entry. You know, so like you have mysticism, etc. It now has an attribute called channel. And then you can assign all of the techs in one that have the, share the same channel, basically constitute a tech tree. They'll only link up with each other. And then a civilization can be assigned a channel that it researches. So you could, if you wanted, have two civilizations that both were assigned the same channel and had the same tech tree, or you could make it unique for every single one and have each one be different.
Well, that's almost like the way, like when you told me civilization-specific tech trees, I was about to ask you if he allowed it to mix, to be able to mix them. So that would be really useful for my mod in a lot of ways and for many other modders to have that tech tree that, you know, you had to keep one civs from researching because you wanted to have mutually exclusive technologies. Now it will look a lot neater on your tech page, and also you could have intertwined branching tech trees, or of course, you know, in unique techs for every single civ, which is like the new Twilight of Arnor by Galactic Civ.
Yeah.
Well, he's modified the tech tree screen in Python, so that it now looks for and recognizes this channel value and will display for you only what you can research. Also, if you set the channel from -1 to a technology, then it's researchable by everyone. It's essentially in all of the channels. So you can essentially have the same main tech tree, but then have it like kind of branch off and have a few little unique nodes that are just for you, or have the whole thing.
Or unique text for one sieve to have one unique
text. Yeah, exactly.
Tech.
One unique text for them, but the core of the tree be the same, like the trunk of the tree, and then branches you like, or the whole thing, root to tip, be completely unique.
Yeah, this is really amazing code, and who's doing all this code right here? Is it the old community core project people?
No, this is Classic Thunder. He's a new guy. No, he's been around, but I don't think I remember very much code from him in the past. He has like a in his profile.
He definitely needs to come on the show after doing something this big, and I'm going to need his help getting an EXE compiled for my mod, because I want to use that.
Hey, he's got a couple of other nice mods here, improved combat odds.
Well, this is quite an impressive piece of code, especially that he took the time to do the Python to make it look real stunning.
Yep, so it's a full top to bottom. Someone grabbed this and started building on top of it for their own mod where they wanted to have that effect. I mean, this is the first of anything like this been out there. This reminds me of something people would do in Smack modding. They would actually create a technology in the middle of the tech tree that could not be researched by anything, by any path. So it had no tech thread to it, basically. So it was an island tech, you know, basically. And then they would give that to the AI free at the beginning of the game by modifying the AI character. And then it would be like some huge-ass bonus. Or it would allow like a wonder of the world that would give me a huge boost. And they did this just to make the AI just as a handicap for the player.
Yeah.
You know, because the AI was so dumb.
Yeah, the AI was dumb and snake.
That's funny.
So you could theoretically do the same thing here if you want to, you know, give the AI, you know, a boost, you know, make all their text cheap.
DTS AI is pretty brutal, bro. I don't think it needs that kind of bonus.
True. But if you're like, I don't know, godlike, like a certain someone we know.
So I don't know who can play. I don't know anyone who plays that deity or Sid.
Sid level?
I don't personally know.
Sid level?
The highest. I personally don't know anyone who plays that.
Yeah. I already played with like Monarch and Emperor.
Yeah. I'm Monarch. I think I might have beat it on Emperor once, but it was a lucky beat. It was lucky. I was being brutal and not even enjoying the game. I was just killing.
And you didn't enjoy that?
Well, I did after I saw my score, 250,000.
Yeah, I go between Noble and Monarch.
So, Blade, you're telling us you can't beat your own AI?
Well, I mean, that is the goal of making a good AI if you can beat it, but it's just boring to play.
Remember, Noble is the fair level.
Oh my gosh.
I just play for fun, so.
Noble is the level where it's equal.
You know, saying try strategies other than, like, killing the Vexmin or whatever, or wherever it goes, I forget. Yeah.
I've just noticed that if I try to beat any kind of victory in a hard level, if I want to do Space Race, I have to also do Conquest to get.
Yeah.
To the position to be able to do that.
Yeah, there is only one victory condition at those hard levels, Conquest. That's it.
And if it's Conquest, you left one city of every civ and then built a spaceship, you pretty much still conquested.
Yeah, it's de facto Conquest.
Because if you leave them unattended, they'll just brutalize you.
Speaking of civs getting brutalized.
Civs getting brutalized.
How's the Gathering Storm doing down there in the south?
I'll go check the forums, I don't know. Like the least.
Oh, wait, you're in Australia, Blake?
Zealand. He's the Kiwi.
Oh, you're the Kiwi, that's right.
Okay, but I was referring to our democracy game for Civilization 4. This is the vanilla democracy game, which has been going on for about...
It's a guide board for refactoring.
2 years now, isn't it? 2 years now? Then my team is crushing Blake's team, which is...
Oh, you're crushed. Okay, you know more than me.
Which is quite ironic, because we were each the diplomats for our team trying to negotiate a deal. And a peaceful resolution to it, kind of.
Well, the next step of diplomacy, of course, is war.
Yes. Our diplomacy is now being conducted by alternative means.
Aggressive negotiation. Excellent. What's the next piece of code we got, Ken?
Did you guys want to still do that, call it that gross national happiness launch? Okay, this one is by a relatively new fellow. I'm not familiar with him before. Cephalo.
Cephalo is not a bunch of words.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry, Cephalo.
He's down Fall from Heaven, I think.
Oh, okay. He's a contributor there. Well, this one is based on the concept used by in the country of Bhutan, which is up in the Himalayas, that their country actually measures gross national happiness as a statistic that they try to optimize versus gross domestic product for us. Imperialist capitalist Westerners.
Gross national happiness sounds like a good idea.
Yes. So what he's actually done is modify and create a new victory condition based on this happiness. And you're trying to win by being the happiest, but you also win by making your opponents happy too. So the more benevolent and happy you are, the better you are.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds like a fun mod.
Yeah.
I find it very ironic that the title screen thing, it has all the money on it.
That is kind of ironic, but it's the money of Bhutan, so it's not dirty, evil, capitalist, Westerner money.
Happy money.
If you have a good day, you get paid 100 Bhutanese monies. Were you happy today? All right, here's your paycheck. Subsidized happiness.
Now, of course, there was, in fact, a study that said that Bhutan was, in fact, one of the happiest places on Earth. Far more happier than, for example, Disney World. Okay, so it's got a lot of changes. He did some stuff with Goody Hut, yada yada, yada, yada. You know how the barbarians would stand on a Goody Hut and, like, wouldn't ever leave?
Yeah.
You guys have seen that. He took that out because he didn't like that for some reason. I don't know why. Not really related to the mod, you know, but...
Because his reason is just because explorers couldn't do anything then. There's nothing since, like, pop.
Yeah, he says the free market system now pays you 5% interest on your money supply.
So that he can make capitalism stronger.
Yeah, don't know why that would, isn't there? A few more happiness resources, like gold's going to make one happy, is probably one.
That's pretty cool. The idea that things like gold or silver can make one happy is probably one of the greatest tragedies of the human condition.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of social commentary in this mod, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I'm really interested.
And he's added a new victory to help explain the game mechanics and give a graphical representation of the scoring system. I really wish he had included a screenshot of that.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it. Good job.
That's a very unique mod.
Yes. Perhaps one in line with your own beliefs too, Blake?
Yeah. Oh, you're a peace stick as well?
Oh, I'm a Buddha. So, yes. So.
Oh, my wife's Buddhist.
Because I'm so Buddhist that I'm going to engage with a Buddhist monk, so...
I don't think I would ever be good enough to be a Buddhist monk.
I'm good enough.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Go off to the monastery. Yeah, I mean,
I'm like good enough to have no girlfriend and to, you know, like, not have much money and stuff.
Not have much money?
Especially no money. They really give a mic.
Awesome. Awesome.
Call us if you have any feedback. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, it's a UK number, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email at polycast@appleton.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.appleton.net.
Yeah, that reminds me, like, if Mad Max takes place in Australia, what are the Kiwis doing as the Australians are killing each other?
Living in perfect harmony?
Shake and shake.
And civilization, yes, I would imagine so.
They burn the wool.
That's what was I like? You find way to make sheep, make a fuel out of sheep.
Well, this has been episode 13. We've had a few bugs here and there. We missed our appointment with Plofer Pengel. Please email me. We miss you, Plofer Blooper Pengel. But we had Blake instead. Thank you for coming on the show, Blake.
You're welcome. It's fun to be the conscript guest host.
Well, you know, we really need to, like, just to make up for how little we had to talk to you of cool stuff, you should come on the show again.
Okay.
Except for this time, with all of your mods and everything right. Ready, so we can talk about what you do.
Okay. Yeah, so I've only got 18 more days in the world for, I'm going to be a monk, so you better hurry.
Yeah, we didn't even mention
All right, well, we'll have to do it soon, then.
Yeah.
And of course, we didn't even mention that you-know-who didn't make it. He was once again in a drunken orgy of salsa dancing.
Oh, well, actually, he said he had a sore throat in the film. But maybe,
yeah.
Maybe he had a sore throat because he was...
I think I know what made his throat sore.
Uh-oh, I don't even know where that's going. Episode 13.
You were lucky to get me.
I knew this one was going to be screwy.
Yeah.
I am lucky to get you, right before you become a monk, too.
Well, Blake, I thought you mentioned some thought of like going like a little bit of a trip around the world before you did that, or that down the drain?
Well, I was going to do that, but, you know, I ended up working for longer on colonization and stuff, so plans have changed.
Oh, okay, not enough time for that.
Yeah, because the Buddhist Range Station that starts at actually exact same time as I contract the inn, so I want to go to the inn retreat to the monastery for just 3 months.
Oh, okay.
Just no traveling around and stuff. Sort of a time and just work better.
I see. Okay. Well, good luck then.
Well, you know, we did it. We have the episode. Hopefully, somewhat, sort of. Didn't you do some colonization work?
Yeah, I've like done some AI for us.
Well, that's what you're good at.
Yeah.
How long?
I sort of have it. I haven't really fought against it, you might say.
How long did you work on it?
That would be about 6 or 7 months.
Wow. Was it quite a bit of work to do?
Well, hard part was that they kept on breaking the game. The gameplay kept changing and breaking the AI, so I was constantly making it work again.
Yeah. We noticed this from our side of it. It's like, I'd say, we broke the AI again for Blake. He has to fix it. You know,
yeah.
Like this, everyone's like, "Hey, this thing, the AI was smart last build,
yeah.
Now it became dumb. Why did you do that?" You know.
It's like, stop breaking my AI.
That's very funny. Every time someone would add a feature, it would break it.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's hilarious.
Yep. Interface is kind of the same way. It's like, oh, new feature to add, cram this in somewhere, you know.
Oh, man. Well, I think I'm glad that you came onto the show, Blake. Thanks for helping us out in a time of need.
It helps.
Well, today we have been joined with Kenneth, the Paler WRG, Ferlin.
You may stand now.
Wouter. Locutus Snyders.
Yeah.
Blake Walsh.
I'm a Buddhist.
And me, Tony Gerritsen Zakakiel. Goodbye. I'm glad you came to listen to our 13th episode. See you in a couple weeks. Record date July 29th, 2008. Sound clips copyright Civilization 4 and the Warlords of Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Appolitan Civilization site at appolitan.net.